A new technology is on the horizon that will make some credit card purchases easier, some convenience stores more convenient, and money ever more abstract. With the introduction of J.P. Morgan Chase & Company's new Blink card, swipeless credit cards are on the way. The card debuts in Atlanta today and will allow holders to pay for items by merely waving their cards near a terminal rather than go through the massive hassle of swiping it through that little device that reads it and you have to... Anyway, the cards employ a form of radio frequency identification, also known as RFID, the same technology you may already use to remotely unlock a car, zip through toll booths, and identify your pets if they stray. Well, would you use this new card? Are you curious about how it works? How do you make credit cards even more convenient? Our number is 800-989-8255. You can also send us email, TOTN@npr.org. Kim Zeter covers RFID technology for Wired News. She joins us today from her office in San Francisco, California. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks for having me.
How do these new cards work?
Well, essentially, instead of swiping your credit card through a physical, swiping it physically through a reader, the cards work on proximity, so that you may not even have to take the card out of your wallet or out of your pocket, but if you stand within a couple of inches from the reader, it can collect the data from the card that way.
So you'd have to get it pretty close. If you just happened to walk by in the vicinity, it wouldn't go off then.
Well, there are some people that say that the testing on this isn't conclusive. In most cases, the cards are supposed to be designed so that they can be read only from a few centimeters, about three centimeters, I think, is what the goal is. When the RFID was proposed for RFID passports, the new passports that we're all going to be getting, there were some tests that indicate that some readers could read at a greater distance. And there were some indications that not that a reader could read the card at a greater distance, but that as one reader was reading a card, a second reader could pick up the data as it was being transmitted to the reader.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, there was one example where it was being read from about 30 feet away.
Now, RFID, that's not exactly the same technology as these cards, is it?
I'm sorry?
RFID is not exactly the same technology as is in these cards, is it?
As in the smart cards?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Don't they use different frequencies?
Well, no. It depends on what you're talking about in terms of all of the smart cards. You know, we have the easy passes for toll and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have RFID is used in Walmart on products and things like that. There are differences in the technologies. Some of them are transmitting at greater frequencies. Some of them only hold a certain amount of data. For instance, the Walmart products are designed so that they can be read from greater distances, so that as a pallet of products goes through a doorway, someone can scan from a distance.
So they're keeping track of their stock.
Yeah. Exactly. And for security reasons, you know, things like the credit cards and RFID passports and things like that are designed so that you can't read them from such distance, theoretically.
Now there are a whole bunch of these swipeless credit cards that are being offered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they prefer not to use the terminology RFID because RFID is getting such a bad rap with regard to Walmart and other issues that have come up. They prefer to call it contactless chips.
Right, and it's not just the Chase Blink cards, but Express Pay from American Express, PayPass. These sound like all the companies are slowly getting into this.
Yeah, it's taken them a while. I mean, this has been in the works for quite some time. It's been difficult for them to get, there's been some testing, but there's difficulty in getting consumers to switch over to it, and just because psychologically it's something new for them. And there's also some resistance among merchants who, for understandable reasons, don't necessarily want to invest in new readers. It's going to require the credit card companies perhaps to purchase the readers initially for merchants.
So they're going to have this detector that monitors all this the transaction.
Yes, they need a new reader in addition to what they're already using for contact cards.
If you're using this new swipeless credit card technology, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. Or if you're curious about it, you can also call in. TOTN@npr.org is our email address. And Cheryl is on the line with us from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm wondering what's going to happen when this technology starts catching on, and we've got numerous devices you don't have to touch in order for them to work. In other words, I've got keyless entry for my car, so I've got my key fob in my pocket, and I've got my cell phone that has Bluetooth technology. If I put my cell phone in the same pocket with my key fob, I can't open my door until I take the key away from the phone or vice versa.
Kim, is there interference problems?
There hasn't been any indication yet, but again, these have only been, you know, been used in sort of test circumstances and, you know, for the purposes that they're designed. You know, there are some security concerns about these. Some privacy activists are concerned that someone with a reader, an authorized reader, could, for instance, read it while it's in your pocket, and you wouldn't necessarily know it. They could use the data to clone a second credit card, or they could use the data to then go make purchases. And at least the people at MasterCard have said that there are a number of safeguards that they've put in to prevent some of those things.
And it's not as if our current magnetic strips on credit cards are exactly foolproof either.
Right, or even handing over a credit card to, you know, to a clerk. There's the risk in that as well.
Yeah.
I have another quick question.
Sure.
What happens... Are there any ways that you know of that would kill the credit card? Like, in other words, you've got your current credit cards. If you get them too close to a magnet, oops, it's gone.
Well, the RFID is, it can't permeate metal. So, for instance, with the RFID passports, one of the security mechanisms that they were going to use would be to put some metal fibers in the cover of the passport so that a reader couldn't read it as long as it was closed.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you were to enclose your card into a little sort of Mylar or, you know, folder or something, then no one could read it from that way. So essentially it would be killed. But it would be a controlled kill. No one would read it if you didn't want them to read it.
Well, Cheryl, you presumably use the keyless entry because it's more convenient. Those E-ZPass things, I mean, those are great, especially the ones you can roll through at 55. I mean, not getting into contact with some things is terrific.
True.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We're talking about new swipeless credit card technology. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. This is Michelle. Michelle in Columbia, South Carolina.
Yes. Hello, Neil. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I am concerned that this is another opportunity for people to steal identities and also just for criminals to wreak havoc on people's credit. And it really scares me that it's going to be that easy to use a credit card without showing some type of identification. I'm really worried that it's going to make it very much easy for criminals to be even worse criminals.
Kim Zetter, is she right to be worried?
Well, yeah, the worries are you know, well placed. I have spoken with them, and you know, I've discussed some of the security mechanisms that they have in place. The data on the card, on the chip on the card, is encrypted, so that you know you couldn't just sort of randomly read it. There's also an authentication process that goes on so that the card has to authenticate itself to the reader. In other words, you couldn't use a phony card with data on it and pass it off to a reader. It has a special key in it that identifies it as a legitimate card. And the RFID reader itself is also legitimizing itself to the card before the data is transmitted. So there is some protection there that someone couldn't randomly access the data. I wanted to address the eavesdropping concern. The eavesdropping concern I mentioned briefly, and that happens when the data is transmitted from the chip to the reader. A second reader could conceivably get the data at that point. However, from what the companies are describing, they're saying that there's a unique key that's created with each transaction. So that if you did grab the data, you couldn't use it for a second transaction. It could only be used for that initial transaction. You also couldn't, the information on the card has a unique number on it that is not the same number that's on the credit card itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't take the data off of the chip and then go use it on the internet. You could only use it somewhere else again with an RFID reader.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing about taking the data and then creating another card, you couldn't do that, they say, because you wouldn't be able to authenticate that card. The card has to be authenticated by the manufacturer.
Michelle, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Just before we let you go, Kim Zetter, the places where a lot of these cards are intended for use, 7-Elevens, McDonald's, the movies, places where up to now most people have used cash instead of credit cards because it's more convenient.
Yeah, they're saying that this is going to be faster because you don't have the, you know, pulling out the change and fiddling with the wallets and things like that. You just hold the card up, and that's it. And, you know, you get a receipt, and then it shows up on your statement.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the aim here, is to move consumerism much more quickly.
And they also say that if you're buying with a credit card, even this kind of credit card, people tend to spend a little more.
That's what I've seen so far, yeah.
Kim Zetter, thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it. Kim Zetter is a reporter for Wired magazine, and she joined us from Wired's offices in San Francisco, California. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.